Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now it's sex therapy time.
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
We're going to focus on relationships this week. We're going to talk about some of the bad, confusing, toxic relationship advice that is out there. And I have our resident sex therapist, Rachel Cook, on the line to talk all about it. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Jen. How's it going?
Good, good. We have a lot to get through here. I didn't realise there was so much bad advice out there for people who are starting out in relationships. So we have a lot to get through. But, I mean, there's so much, isn't there? There's so much bad advice.
Oh, there's loads. And it's really confusing for people. It's actually very hard to evaluate what's helpful, what's outdated, what's absolute tripe based in ignorance, or sometimes it can be based in shame, and then stuff that like could be useful but might just not be for you, or even just not at this time or with this particular person that you're dating or in a relationship with or would like to be in a relationship with. So it's really hard to sort of sort the wheat from the chaff for people, and we're not really given those skills. So here we are.
Here you are for to give us those skills. But what relationship advice or myth just make you cringe the most?
There's a few of them. Okay, so the idea that your partner should complete you and meet your every need. What do you think about that one, Jen? We've talked about this before.
We've talked about this before. It's really an unrealistic expectation and exhausting, because that means I would have to be the same for them, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the concept that you are going to be your partner's best friend, their lover, their coach, their, you know, manager, their holiday companion.
Exhausting.
You know, all of these things. It's a lovely fantasy, but there's just no way that one person is going to be able to provide all of those things. And I mean, sometimes we might be really compatible and that can happen for a short period of time, but that one is, you know, we're recognizing more and more that it's just not possible. Another one is that if you're not in a relationship, you must be sad, lonely, and there's something wrong with you, which, yeah, what do you think about that one?
Oh, it's ridiculous now. Unfortunately, it's still something that's kind of bandied around, isn't it?
It really is, you know, because our cultural sort of conditioning still tells us that the kind of the highest level of success in life is to be in a marriage, ideally, which kind of lasts forever.
And it comes from everywhere. I mean, I was just talking about this recently. Even ads on the telly are tailored for couples. God forbid you're going for a mortgage by yourself, because they don't cater, you know, according to these banks, they don't cater for you if you're by yourself. I mean, because all the ads, it's happy, newly married, a happy couple, go for them. You know what I mean? So it's from everywhere they're getting it, single
it's
people.
It's from everywhere, and it actually makes it harder then to really decide. You know, people end up staying in relationships where they're absolutely miserable because, you know, it makes it practically difficult in some ways to be single or to extricate yourself from someone, especially if you've already entered into the institution of marriage as such. So, you know, this is one that I think, again, we're unpicking this more and more, but there's still a lot of setup around our kind of media and society, which mean that, it prioritizes people in couples. So another one is that there's such thing as the one, as you know well. I mean, there are so many people who could potentially be incredibly suitable, compatible, enjoyable for us to be with across our lives. So, you know, it's a lingering fantasy from Disney movies that we are going to find this one person who's just going to fit us so well, and it's just going to last for a really long time.
There's loads. I'm going to read out a few for you. But can I ask you firstly, what kind of expectations in sex are most common?
Oh, the sex ones. Okay, so the sex should be easy. I would say, you know, it's great when you're really compatible with someone, and especially at the start. Maybe, you know, sometimes people have a kind of honeymoon period where they just feel a lot of sexual chemistry. Maybe they're getting a lot of the kind of falling in love hormones, this sort of thing. So, you know, it makes sense that we would want sex to be incredibly pleasurable, easy, spontaneous. But, you know, that also it's just a myth. There's all sorts of reasons why sex can sometimes be very complicated. It's just tricky, you know. It involves people and communication and bodies that don't always work like machines. And that people can have very different preferences and different levels of awareness and capacity to communicate about their needs. So there's lots of reasons why sex is, you know, not always easy and sometimes can be very hard. The other thing, another one is that you need to have the same level of sexual desire in a relationship or it won't work. Total myth. There is, it's very, very rare that you will find two people who for more than short periods of time have the same level of desire and the same type of desire. Mm. Because even if, let's say, you have the same level of desire, you both have, let's say, pretty high libidos, one of you might much prefer having sex in the morning, the other one at night. You might
with
still
other people.
Have yeah, exactly. Exactly. Another one is that this is a myth that desire always wanes, but I think it's helpful to recognize that usually over the course of longer term relationships, the sexual desire does tend to go down, but that doesn't mean that it will. And usually you'll find it sort of waxes and wanes. There'll be periods where it's much higher and you feel much more attracted to each other and it kind of flows, and then other points where it just doesn't.
Okay. What about when people say to you or have said to someone, if you're experiencing doubt or anxiety about your partner, then they're the wrong person for you?
Oh, absolutely not. So this one is doubt means don't. Now, of course, if you're seeing actual red flags with someone, or you just know the things that they are displaying in their kind of character or behavior really just aren't compatible for you because you've already done that sort of reflection work, then cool, of course, you know, you're not obliged to stay with that person. But absolutely no one is free from fear going into relationships, basically. You will not find anyone who experiences no fear at all, no anxiety about themselves, the relationship, the other person, what that looks like. So I think it's much, much wiser if you start to experience doubt to sort of question, well, like, what is it that I might be fearing here? What's leading me to feel vulnerable? What am I afraid of losing? What am I maybe not communicating to this other person that feels risky to do so, but that probably will feel much better if you are more mm-hmm. transparent, more open with them, and then you can work out whether, you know, sometimes you will be able to work out very quickly that they can't give you what you need. And then you can decide whether to work out how to get that from friends, family, other places, or to not be with that
move
person.
On. Here's yeah. a common one. You always need to feel a spark.
Oh, there's no way you're going to feel that all the time. There are going to be times where you probably despise your partner, certainly dislike them. That's universal. There's just going to be times where that happens, and you're going to probably, especially if you're in a relationship with someone over a long period of time, you're probably going to have periods where you feel very in love with them, times where you're completely regretting having ever gotten into it and don't know what you're doing, times where it just feels a bit boring, meh, and times where you're very attracted and that you're not. And also, not just will you feel that, but they will also feel that, and probably not always on the same timeline as you. So sometimes you might feel really attracted to them, very in love with them, and they're in a bit of a sort of stale period. Mm. So, you know, there's a lot to navigate.
What about this one? You should never go to sleep angry with each other.
Oh, so I totally understand that some people have this agreement with each other, and if that works for you, fantastic. But I would say that the kind of cultural notion that there's something really wrong with going to sleep when you're angry with each other, you know, it just doesn't fit for some people. I think you need to have the self-awareness of how you deal with that, because, you know, certainly some people are just going to get a terrible night's sleep. They're going to feel burning resentment as they're lying beside their partner, wishing that they were dead. And that's just not going to be conducive to, you know, having, you know, you're just going to be exhausted the next day and feel really, really irritable. But for lots of people, you know, sometimes you just need a bit of time to simmer down, to cool off, and kind of, you know, have a bit of time for reflection on what actually was pissing you off, so that you can then talk about it maybe the next day or a few days later. So absolutely, if it works for both of you, it's okay to go to sleep.
What about this one? If you can't be your authentic self all the time, then you're with the wrong partner.
No one is their authentic self all the time. Definitely not.
What?
No one is. You know, most of us have been culturally conditioned to people please. We have learned all sorts of different coping strategies and defense mechanisms for, you know, whether that's that we withdraw and avoid and we're not transparent. We feel shame, and so we withdraw, we retreat, and we don't talk about what's actually going on for us. We're frightened of the vulnerability of sharing what we feel. It doesn't mean that we're going around being a fake person or lying all the time. It's just this kind of cultural idea that's having a big moment right now, that you need to be your authentic self all the time. There's so many factors. You know, you're irritable, you're tired, you haven't eaten. I don't think people have access to their authentic self, you know, the majority of the time. It doesn't mean it's not something to kind of strive for or work towards or continue to be aware of. But just, you know, this idea that someone else is going to help you feel authentic is also dangerous. Now, if someone is controlling you, or you feel that they are, you know, they're being very judgmental, they're stopping you from doing things, that's a totally separate issue. We're talking about, that's an abusive relationship. You know, they are incredibly toxic dynamics if that is going on.
Okay.
Let's
just, there's so many, Rachel. I mean, and just reading and going through them, it's like, oh yeah, I've heard that, and that's been said to me, and oh yeah, it's interesting. But what about this one? Don't ever settle. You deserve the perfect partner. What about that one?
Yeah. Total myth, massive, yeah, just sort of like trope that we have, or cliche. Like, no one is going to find the perfect partner. It doesn't mean...
Are you saying the perfect partner does not exist?
It doesn't. They do not exist. They do not exist. There are certainly, probably when you're falling in love with someone, you will experience feelings that tell you the other person is perfect. You know, this is part of the biology of love. You know, it's to help us want to stay with a person for enough time to procreate. I mean, there's the biological function of it, right? However, no one is going to be perfect for you. You might have a sense of they are perfect for you within their imperfection. Some people will say that, like, I accept this person just as they are, and they're human and they have their faults, so they're perfect for me. But the idea that they will be actually perfect, it doesn't exist. So everyone is going to settle to some degree, okay, and only you can decide how much of that you're willing to settle for.
Let me ask you this. Okay, we'll wrap it up on this, because I bet you get this in your therapy room all the time or on your Zoom calls at the moment. So somebody sits in front of you. I bet you've heard this more than a million times. How do I know if he or she is for me?
Oh, that one, you know, that is going to take time, reflection, working out what it is that you want, because for some people, they really, really do still want to have very long-term relationship and get married. But there's no way to guarantee the length of any relationship. You know, adult relationships are by definition insecure and conditional. You know, this idea that adult love is unconditional is false. It's simply false. You know, now we have this act of choice that we can make in relationships as to whether to be in them. So, which wasn't really the case back when people, you know, got married or got together for financial reasons, for stability, you know, a couple of hundred years ago. It's only been sort of in the last century, really, that people have married for love. And there are upsides and downsides to that. So how to know that someone is really right for you? You know, the best you can do is use the information that you have based on where you're at, where they're at, take into account things like your values, maybe also the kind of practical constraints of how you want to live. You know, some people don't want to live together. They don't want to sleep in the same bed, or they can't for certain reasons. Some people want children, some people don't. So really being able to look at the practicalities of that, but also expanding your view of relationships as well, that you don't have to do all of these things with one person. You know, more and more people are recognizing that you could have, let's say, a nesting partner who you live with and maybe you have children with, but you might also have other partners who provide, you know, maybe sexual novelty, or, you know, they're activity partners, and that can be romantic, sexual, or platonic. So the question of, are they right for me, very down to the individual, and the best you can do is, you know, sort of reflect on that and try and be as happy as you can.
Try and be as happy as you can. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it? So a lot of bad advice out there, but don't worry, Rachel has all the good advice, and she will be back next week for a very popular slot, our Q&A. Are you ready for that, Rachel?
I'm always ready.
Amazing. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming on the show. Again, that is Rachel Cook, our psychotherapist and mental health consultant. You can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. Like I said, our very popular Q&A slot is back next week. If you have a question that you would like us to put to her, just get in touch with the team 24/7. You can email us jen@rte.ie.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.